of stewardship, growing in discipleship, reaching out to those in need, being good stewards and signs, using our resources for witness. Today we turn to the relationship of worship to stewardship, using a familiar text in a surprising part of the church year. Will you pray with me? Pour forth your Spirit, O God, upon your word, that the words I speak and the thoughts we think, the meditations of our heart, might be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. So ends the passage in Chronicles that we read this morning. King David recognizes in the construction of the temple worship space that all that we have is God's. Not just a gift from God, but all of it is God's. David gives thanks that the people have come together in that moment and offered it in abundance and freely. Dr. James Forbes, formerly of Riverside Church, last week at Central Congregational Church, reminded us of the words of theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, that the root of sinfulness, our very separation from God, is the failure to recognize that our security ultimately comes from God. It is a security that calls forth our devotion, our worship, if you will. Worship is a place where we can find and celebrate the heart of stewardship, to bring ourselves humbly to God and to be transformed in the process. At any given moment, people come together to worship God, to be comforted and to be challenged, but never to stay as they have come into its midst. Many years ago, I remember a dear saint of the church I grew up in, Alice, did everything in the life of that church. She was the church librarian. She organized the crop walk out in the community. She sang in the choir. She was accompanist whenever it was needed and whenever someone didn't show up to play. She told me one day when I was there that she had a friend who was mightily discouraged by the church's worship service and said to her, "I just don't get anything out of it anymore." Maybe you've heard that before in your journeys in church. And dear Alice looked her straight in the eyes and said, "But what do you bring to it?" Worship is an attitude and a willingness to come and see God first in our lives, to reach for God and to expect the holy and healing to enter our lives. And worship doesn't just happen, as you heard in the children's message this morning. Maybe there was a time in which one pastor could just show up, expect the organist to play a few familiar hymns that everyone knew, say a few prayers off the top of his or her head, and preach a sermon, be done with worship and move on to coffee and fellowship and out into the world to serve. I realized that most fully this morning at about 3 a.m. when my sermon woke me up. And I realized that I had forgotten to send Phil Jumpo the information about the PowerPoint. Oh, I thanked him in that email that Andrew talked about sending to the 10 or 12 people that it takes to organize worship, but I hadn't asked him to prepare the PowerPoint. So the 12 people that I thought it took to organize worship probably should have been 13. What strikes me most on these weeks when worship is fully my responsibility to oversee is the willingness and the excitement, the humility and the grace of people who come together to share in offering their gifts for worship, to bring praises, songs, thoughtful reflection, prayer, and intensity to the worship experience, and to humbly bring the focus of our lives to God in a way that is so different from the rest of our day-to-day lives. They come not to perform, but in the awesome privilege of offering service and gifts and offerings to God. And thus, when clapping happens in worship, we must be sure that it is the joining of our hearts to that spirit that brings us to worship, not applause for a performance as we might see it somewhere else. Worship provides a time to both get out of ourselves, to point to God, while at the same time that we are invited to bring all that we are and all whom we are to that experience. I forget who said it first, but worship provides a thin space where God's Spirit may flow freely, a thin space where God's Spirit breaks through ordinary life and allows us to see life in new perspectives. No wonder the Westminster divines said foremost in their first question of faith that our chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully enjoy God forever. Presbyterian pastor Mark Laberton writes in The Dangerous Act of Worship, when worship is our response to the one who alone is worthy of it, Jesus Christ, then our lives are on their way to be turned inside out, to be free for God and God's purposes in the world, and to truly grasp that security that Niebuhr talks about. Our worship is to be the tangible embodiment of God's hope in the world. So we're turning the Advent message inside out this year, this Thanksgiving weekend and Pledge Dedication Sunday. Usually the Christmas season ends with the coming of the Magi to visit Jesus, but this year we will begin there. The story of the Magi, the wise men who visited Jesus, is just 12 short lines in Matthew's Gospel. Brazilian theologian Ruben Alves in Transparencies of Eternity expands on that parable of the Magi and imagines these kings from eastern lands who saw a star and heard a song that their holy ones could not hear, who amidst their plenty and their many abundance of possessions yearned for a God beyond their wealth and set out to travel. They came searching. Their lives, though full, were missing something. They came at peril, for Herod was watching them and seeking to kill this new ruler, Jesus, this adversary to his power. The kings were astounded and freed when they found that the star that they had followed was not lighting the place where Jesus lay after many moons of following it, but it was the little baby, Reuben Alves says, that lighted up the star, that the universe is a crib where a child sleeps, he writes. They had found joy. The gospel says they were overwhelmed with joy, and they brought their gifts to this Jesus. They were transformed by the experience, and they went home by another way. They came to glorify God, to live God's highest aim. We should encounter the same in worship as we seek to praise God, to seek God's guidance, to offer ourselves to God, and to leave in a new spirit of joy, of good news, of hope, promise, liberation, love, and strength for a journey that is so often difficult. As Laberton puts it, to be awake to God, to each other, and to the world, to be awake to the world as God sees it. What then can we learn from this passage of Scripture as we encounter it in light of stewardship, where worship is the heart? We too are travelers, like the Magi. Sometimes we see a star and hear a song that the world around us does not hear. Hopefully, we will be wise to follow it. Certainly, we are gifted beyond what much of the world enjoys, with opportunity, comforts, and abundance that too often we take for granted, with vast resources and gifts in this community reaching out to one another. We are challenged to live that wealth and abundance responsibly, caringly, and with a heart for those who live at the margins of our society, with those who struggle for freedom and for life itself, to reach beyond our comfort zones to journey together. The Magi left the comfort of their homes and the centers of their universes and traveled likely for years to see this Christ child. Do we have that same kind of excitement as we enter this Advent journey to Jesus' birth again this year? Remember, we read that the Magi were overwhelmed with joy. What movement of God's Spirit do you sense as we think of the ways in which God is calling us to live out our faith in giving in this year to come? Matthew and Luke tell us, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened." Let us then give thanks for this Advent journey toward the birth of Christ again in our lives. The great Thanksgiving hymn sings, "We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." Let our lives of thanksgiving and hope ring out this season at the heart of stewardship as we worship together. Amen.